Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? The show starts in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Yes. Hello, hello. Welcome to Cluster Shock Entertainment Reports. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. Took a little break again this week. My apologies, intended to broadcast late in the evening, and then in late last night, my tablet was not charged for 10:30, and then when 11:30 rolled around, I had fallen asleep and woke up at 12:15. So my apologies. So definitely next Wednesday, Wednesday. Today is Thrilling Thursday, and what are some of the thrilling ways to adjust to the new normal that we are living. But I must say, one thrilling way, watching an awesome press conference right before the show began just a couple of minutes ago, watching an awesome press conference at the White House with the president and many bipartisan governors from various states discussing the effective ways that they're running their states, and also how important it is just to love our land, from the urban cities to the suburban areas to rural America. And it's just important for us to stay optimistic, right? Because we can get down. I felt a little down, just a little bit today. It's been so hot, and wearing a mask out, and it feels here in Mississippi, it's been feeling like 105 and 110, and then we're mandated to wear a mask, and then even not mandated, if you care about your health, you know you better wear the mask. So, oh my goodness, my favorite football players and anybody that wear helmets, I can kind of feel how you can kind of relate to how you guys feel when you have those masks on. Oh my goodness. But you know, to slow the spread, it's important for us to wear our mask and to social distance, as the governor of the state of Mississippi and other officials and community leaders have stated. But today, our governor of the state of Mississippi has been stressing, and the mayor always stresses too, because it's mandated in the city of Jackson, the capital city, but only various counties where there are hot spots in the state of Mississippi are their mandates, because the governor is trying not to mandate the entire state, but only the hot spot counties. But he stresses just from your personal, the caring for your personal health and the health of others to wear a mask. I am praying and would be so happy when, and many people stress to me also, they would be so happy when a vaccine is found, and also when I wish we could wish it away, pray it away and wish it away, that it will leave the way it came. But, you know, we're dealing with it. Well, schools are reopening and I'm making their big announcements. JPS, which I am a product of, Jackson Public Schools, Superintendent Eric Green and the mayor of the city of Jackson announced, I believe it or not, you probably do believe it, I'm not looking at any notes, which I like to write out like bullet points in a plan for this broadcast and then, you know, play it by ear. But many districts throughout the country, throughout the land, are making announcements and making decisions on what are they going to do. Will they do social distance? Will they do online learning or in person or a little bit of both? If I'm not mistaken, the superintendent here in Jackson City, which I shared the press conference, and many of you from around the country and world peeped in on it, announced that it would be distance learning, online learning, and the superintendent and the mayor, the superintendent announced the schedule, and he saluted how awesome the superstar teachers and the high school teachers have been as leaders in that in the success of distance learning teaching online. So made a big announcement, and the superintendent pleaded for the help of the community and the churches and everyone. And so it's important. So if your community is still indecisive, and, you know, please, you know, encourage and do your part. I know some people are like, no, online, or no, we're not ready for our kids to go back to school. And I know the vice president and the president and many other leaders have said it's important to get kids in school. But, you know, some kids, that's how they need, you know, they need a schedule. They need their parents work. The kids need to be getting their education while their parents are working. So hopefully we can get all of this under control with whatever decisions are made. Some kids, that's how they get their food and their nutrition at school, from the school lunches and school breakfasts and all of that. So, but of course, prayerfully, you know, all of the programs that have been going on this spring and the summer, I'm quite sure everything will be still going on and maintained. So, you know, a big shout out to the farmers and to the food groups and food services that provide food, and grocery stores that provide food for all of us. A friend of mine and I were talking the other day, in recent days, about farmers and how food and must be just destroyed, and pigs and cattle need to be euthanized. And, you know, one of my friends mentioned to me, like, yeah, because schools and universities and big companies are, or they didn't even mention big companies, but I'm adding big companies, you know, large cafeterias are not in business. Because I had seen a story where a potato farmer had to destroy just like millions of potatoes. That's so sad. And I've seen the dairy farmers just pour out milk, and then to see the farmers post on their Facebook Live how sad they have been when they have to euthanize their pigs and their cattle. So, but it's just so important. But then you see the food pantry lines and Salvation Army and churches, lines everywhere, because people from all socioeconomic backgrounds need food, need to provide food for their families. But it is Thrilling Thursday, and also I'm going to, you guys can chime in, but I'm going to leave the screen for a second. I want to shout out all the supporters and the listeners from right here in my native Jackson, Mississippi, all the ones in Dallas-Fort Worth, brother-in-law Tommy Ellis at Trader's Village, everybody living the new normal. People are definitely trying to live a new normal, just keeping our heads up. This will be glad when we just continue to, when we're not dealing with spikes, when we're not dealing with surges, but we're dealing with, you know, the downward part. And then I guess we should talk more about recovery. You guys know my family and loved ones, not only had I been providing information regarding CDC guides and official information, but, you know, we were quarantined. one of my younger family members had been diagnosed with it. You guys heard it live because the announcement was made to me live on air. And then an older family member, whom you all heard me like probably shout out often, had been diagnosed with COVID-19. And sadly, I just knew she was going to pull through, but sadly, it was found unresponsive from at the rehab center she was at. Lived to be an awesome 92, and I just felt that she would definitely hit that 100. My mother's older sister, you guys hear me talk about her often, and see me talk about her on Facebook and everything. She was very private when I would visit her at the nursing home, which I had not visited since the fall. And then I talked to her in early May, but then the last few times I called, you know, because they're so busy and short-staffed, I guess, my call would get to her floor, but I wouldn't get a chance to talk to her. And she said, you know, I love the effective ways that people are doing, like, parades and visiting loved ones through the communicating through windows and doing a FaceTime. It's important to keep the staff and the residents and ourselves motivated and encouraged, because there are recovery stories also. And then when it comes to a time of end of life, it's important for people to feel loved. So, I mean, all of us want to feel love. I want to feel love right now. I do feel love. I want to feel love right now. So we all want to feel love from age newborn to 100 and 100 plus, right? But I'm going to see what's going on right now in real-time news, because there's always something popping off. Condolences. We've lost so many awesome people in the past week. The amazing actress, vocalist from Glee, Nell Rivera. Oh my God, such a sad story. It's wow. And but you know, they say apparently she saved her son's life, but didn't have the strength to save her own. And I've seen images of her Glee co-stars standing at the pier at the area where her boat was, and praying. Then the loss of Lisa Marie Presley's firstborn, Kelly Preston, oh my God, Charlie Daniels passed away like a couple of days after my aunt. And I love his tweet. I mean, his team is trying to keep his tweets up. But those of you that interact with me on social media and on Twitter, you guys know, and girls know, that I reshare his tweets. I retweet. So I've been retweeting what his team has been doing, been tweeting out. But sending condolences out to John Travolta and his family, to the Presley family, and to Nile Rivera's son and their family and the stars of Glee. And wow, it's been like six or seven people, celebrities that we have lost, I know. So names that I missed, I will focus on the next broadcast. Tomorrow, yes, America's Truths Unveil. I know you all have been waiting for that series that I started to resume. Have missed the past couple Fridays, you know, where we talk about uncovering the truth, the good, the bad, and the ugly of America. And last broadcast talked about the truth of the state of Mississippi, the flag being retired, which, you know, proudly had the Confederate symbol on it. And so there have been a flag commission formed, and your submissions will be accepted up until mid-September. And soon the state of Mississippi will have a new state flag, and it's required to have "In God We Trust" on it, and no type of Confederate imagery on it, but definitely "In God We Trust" In God we trust. Yes, yes, yes. So let's see. COVID-19 update. COVID-19, okay. There's a question about California. Can California contain coronavirus surge? And Massachusetts have a $1.1 billion coronavirus pandemic spending bill sent to the governor. Oh, this is like a real-time story. Well, the story I just shared was real-time, too. But there's one about churches. Very interesting. ABC News, Christina Correga. At least 24 coronavirus cases linked to church in West Virginia. The health department asked congregants of the Charleston church to isolate. Wow. A church in Charleston, West Virginia, has moved their in-person service online after at least 24 congregants tested positive for the novel coronavirus. The Kanawha Charleston Health Department announced on Wednesday that it has tracked the 24 cases of COVID-19 to the North Charleston Apostolic Church. The outbreak has affected residents in Kanawha, Putnam, and Logan County. Kanawha County reported the majority with 19 positive cases. We don't want to discourage people from going to church, but COVID-19 is still out there, and we have to be very careful. Dr. Sherry Young, health officer and executive director of the Kanawha, I hope I'm saying that right, Charleston Health Department, said in a statement. Church leaders said they were closed for 3 weeks in order to conduct deep cleaning throughout the building and have asked congregants to isolate, according to health officials. The North Charleston Apostolic Church did not return requests for comments. Nice, beautiful church, too. The church would not stream previously recorded sermons on its website on Sunday morning and on Wednesday evening. So they have a reminder, starting Sunday we will be doing online services Sunday at 10 and Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Young advised anyone attending in-person services anywhere to wear your mask, keep 6 feet between you and other congregants, and wash your hands frequently. West Virginia was the last state in the U.S. to report a coronavirus case. To date, over 3.4 million Americans have tested positive for the virus. Over 137,000 have died, and over 1 million. That is great. 1 million. Over 1 million have recovered. That is something that we very seldom talk about, the numbers of recovery. As of Wednesday, the state has 4,557 confirmed cases and 98 deaths, according to health officials. So I'm just going to do a recap of things that, because I watched some videos this morning. I seen some videos this morning on Good Morning America. You guys seen the videos of the YouTube star, Logan? He had like a massive cool party. And the mayor of Calabasas, California, that's where the Kardashians and all live, right? Kim and Kim K and Kanye and a lot of everyday people and celebrities, right? Beautiful from what I've seen. But the mayor is like very bothered because she said events like that should not be held. But it looked like it was a really cool party, but I'm praying. It was like a massive party at the YouTubers, Logan's mansion. And people were indoors and outdoors. And I did not see the first mask or first glove or first anything. And they were not social distancing. I don't know. Maybe it was one of those COVID parties. And, you know, and I've heard, you know, people that have been going to those COVID parties, COVID-19 parties, I've heard some sad stories that people have been getting COVID. And recently a young person passed away by excitedly attending one of the COVID-19 parties. I don't know, what are people trying to do? Are they trying to find out if it's a hoax or not? Wow. But really, what to know about coronavirus, how it started, and how to protect yourself. Coronavirus explained. And this, hopefully I can open this up. I tapped on it. Email me, Culture Shock Entertainment, as I wait for this to open up. KULTRESHOKENT underscore bet at yahoo.com. KULTRESHOKENT underscore Beth at yahoo.com. Email, that's it. Send music, WAVE, WAV, MP3, WMA. Also, your media kits. If you're interested in being a guest co host or a guest, also your group, music group, please let me know you want to come on. Some of old friends of the show are returning, and also more new ones. Big shout out to policing expert Juan Cloy and also to Sean Alexander Hamilton, who is excited. I think he's been Facebook Live, and so you guys definitely interact with him and interact with policing expert Juan Cloy and my social media friend. You know, let's keep effectively networking with one another. I need a drink of water, I think. Effectively networking with one another. Big shout out to my love, my guy, Terry. He's been working with my cousin. So a big shout out to McCall's Landscaping. They do awesome work. Awesome work at museums and businesses and hospitals and malls and shopping centers. Awesome landscaping business. So my guy's working with my cousin. Yeah. And so, yeah, so a big shout out to my brother-in-law, so my mentor, Tommy Ellis, at Traders Village, Grand Prairie in Texas. You all be safe. The rides and everything are open, you all know. So, you know, the governor and, you know, the mayor of Houston and the mayor of Dallas, you know, they are they're on it. Also, like the mayor here in Jackson. Oh, big shout out to Marcus Wallace, also my friend and former schoolmate, school with him and his late sister Letitia Wallace. He's mayor of Edwards, Mississippi. Lost a police officer a couple weeks ago, and a couple officers were tested positive. And now the mayor, Marcus Wallace, has been, tested positive. So definitely keep Marcus in your prayers, Mayor Marcus, in your prayers to get well soon. So coronavirus explained. Early cases of COVID-19 are believed to be linked to live animal market in Wuhan. Now, that was in March. What is said now is what is still being said. I hope you can hear this. I'm going to try to play it where you can hear it. That was an ad.
The first case of novel coronavirus was reported in Wuhan, China, in December 2019. Early cases were believed to be linked to a live animal market in Wuhan and have since been spreading from person to person. Shortly after, cases of the virus began to appear outside of China, and on January 20th, 2020, the first case of novel coronavirus was reported in the United States. On January 30th, the World Health Organization declared the outbreak a public health emergency of international concern.
More cases should be expected in other parts of China and possibly other countries.
Coronaviruses are a large family of viruses, named for their shape. Protruding spikes that look like a crown or a corona. SARS and MERS are part of the coronavirus family, as well as viruses that cause the common cold. Teen novel coronavirus was officially named COVID-19 on February 11th by the World Health Organization. suspected community spread was first reported in the United States February 26. No known links to people who traveled to Wuhan, China. WHO said on February 27 that COVID-19 has pandemic potential.
This virus does not respect borders.
COVID-19 can cause flu-like symptoms that range from mild to severe, including cough, fever, and shortness of breath. Trials underway for treatment, but vaccines are still in the development phase, and likely more than a year away. CDC officials say that Americans should prepare for major disruptions to their daily routines. Recommendations to reduce the risk of infection include regular hand washing, covering mouth and nose when coughing and sneezing, avoiding close contact with anyone showing signs of respiratory illness, such as coughing and sneezing, avoiding touching your face, disinfecting frequently touched objects and surfaces, using an alcohol-based hand sanitizer if soap and water aren't available. If you're sick, stay home. If you have severe symptoms or are worried that you've contracted the virus, call your doctor before going in.
Okay, taking it back to the beginning, reminded many of us, those of us that think it's a hoax, that it is real. You know, some people might create fake news stories around it, but it actually exists. It actually exists. Coronavirus explained, and that was from March the 10th, and it was, you know, it, a reminder of, you know, how it all began. And the first date when it arrived here, February 26th, important date in America when it comes to coronavirus. So, we'll visit cdc.gov, and then we will talk about thrilling ways of getting accustomed to a new normal. But coronavirus 2019, CDC is responding to the novel coronavirus. Stay home if you're sick. Coping with stress, cloth face covering are some of the topics that are discussed on the website, and also other situations that happen also that we need to be informed about. Salmonella and lung injury associated with e-cigarettes and vaping also. So, and new organ transplant guide, and so on. So I'm going to check out this cloth face covering, because last time I visited the website when we were on air, I did not see this new section. Coronavirus disease 2019, how to wear cloth face coverings, which are the new thrilling Thursday, of adjusting to the new normal of life, living in today's society in the midst of coronavirus, a.k.a. COVID-19. Cloth face coverings are an additional step to help slow the spread of COVID-19 when combined with everyday preventive action and social distancing. Who should not use face coverings? Children under age are two. Yesterday, I was on a packed bus. There were mothers and a lot of babies. And the bus driver said, "You moms, when you next time you can get on the bus, be sure your kids have on masks." And I have seen parents with babies. I was in a furniture store on Monday for a job interview, and I've seen a young couple with a baby. And the baby appeared to be under two, but they had a face covering, you know, so around the baby's face. So people want their babies to be safe too. So they make them for babies under two, but the CDC says who should not use face covering: children under two or anyone who has trouble breathing, is unconscious, incapacitated, are otherwise unable to remove the mask without assistance. Cloud face coverings are not surgical masks or N95 respirators. Currently, surgical masks and N95 respirators are critical supplies that should be reserved for healthcare workers and other first responders. Wear your face covering correctly, and they have a graphic of how to wear the face covering. Wash your hands before putting on your face covering. Put it over your nose and mouth and secure it under your chin. Try to fit it snugly against the sides of your face. Make sure you can breathe easily. Again, let me repeat. When you're wearing your face covering, wash your hands before putting on your face covering. Put it over your nose and mouth. Secure it under your chin. Try to fit it snugly against the sides of your face. Make sure you can breathe easily. Wear a face covering to protect others. Wear a face covering that covers your nose and mouth to help protect others in case you're infected with COVID-19 but don't have symptoms. Wear a covering in public settings when around people who don't live in your household, especially when it may be difficult for you to stay 6 feet apart. Wear a face covering correctly for maximum protection. Don't put the face covering around your... Don't put the face covering around your neck or up on your forehead. Don't touch the face covering. Don't touch the face covering. Excuse me, you all, if you hear any interruption. Don't put the face covering around your neck or up on your forehead. Don't touch the face covering. And if you do, wash your hands or use your hand sanitizer to disinfect. Follow everyday health habits. Stay at least 6 feet away from others. Avoid contact with people who are sick. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds each time. Use hand sanitizer if soap and water are not available. Take off your face covering carefully when you're home. Untie the strings behind your head or stretch the ear loop. Handle only by the ear loop or tie. Fold outside corners together. Place covering in the washing machine. Learn more about how to wash cloth face covering. Be careful not to touch your eyes, nose, and mouth when removing, and wash hands immediately after removing. So I will repeat it. How to wear a cloth face covering. Cloth face coverings are an additional step to help slow the spread of COVID-19. When combined with everyday preventive actions and social distancing in public settings, see, like the governor, Tate Reeves, and said, say that's an important form of slowing the spread. You should not use cloth face coverings on children under age 2 or anyone who has trouble breathing, is unconscious, incapacitated, or otherwise unable to remove the mask without assistance. Cloth face coverings are not surgical masks or N95 respirators. Currently, surgical masks and N95 respirators are critical supplies that should be reserved for healthcare workers and other first responders. Wear your face covering correctly. Wash your hands before putting on your face covering. Put it over your nose and mouth and secure it under your chin. Try to fit it snugly against the sides of your face. Make sure you can breathe easily. Wear a face cover to protect others. Wear a face covering that covers your nose and mouth to help protect others in case you're infected with COVID-19 but don't have symptoms. Wear a face covering in public settings when around people who don't live in your household, especially when it may be difficult for you to stay 6 feet apart. Wear a face covering correctly for maximum protection. Don't put the face covering around your neck or up on your forehead. Don't touch the face covering, and if you do, wash your hands or use hand sanitizer to disinfect. Follow everyday health habits. Stay at least 6 feet away from others. Avoid contact with people who are sick. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds each time. Use hand sanitizer if soap and water are not available. Take off your cloth face covering carefully. When you're home, untie the strings behind your head or stretch the ear loop. Handle only by the ear loop or ties. Fold outside corners together. Place coverings in the washing machine. Be careful not to touch your eyes, nose, and mouth when removing, and wash hands immediately after removing. And there are instructions on washing your cloth face covering. I've been washing mine. I hope I've been washing mine correctly. Cloth face coverings are an additional step to help slow the spread of COVID-19. When combined with everyday preventive actions and social distancing in public settings, cloth face coverings should be washed after each use. It is important to always remove face coverings correctly and wash your hands after handling or touching a used face covering. How to clean washing machine. You can include your face covering in your regular laundry. Use regular laundry detergent in the warmest appropriate water setting for the cloth used to make the face covering. Washing by hand. I've been washing mine by hand. Prepare a bleach solution by mixing 5 tablespoons of household bleach per gallon of room temperature water, or 4 teaspoons household bleach per quart of room temperature water. Check the label to see if your bleach is intended for disinfection. Some bleach products, such as those designed for safe use on colored clothing, may not be suitable for disinfection. Ensure the bleach product is not past its expiration date. Never mix household bleach with ammonia or any other cleanser. Soak the face covering in the bleach solution for 5 minutes. Rinse thoroughly with cool or room temperature water. Make sure to completely dry cloth face covering after washing. How to dry? Use the highest heat setting and leave in the dryer until completely dry. Air dry, lay flat, and allow to completely dry. If possible, place the cloth face covering in direct sunlight. Considerations when wearing cloth face coverings. CDC recommends that people wear cloth face coverings in public settings and when around people who don't live in your household, especially when other social distance measures are difficult to maintain. Cloth face coverings may help prevent people who have COVID-19 from spreading the virus to others. Cloth face coverings are most likely to reduce the spread of COVID-19 when they are widely used by people in public settings. Cloth face coverings should not be worn by children under the age of 2 or anyone who has trouble breathing, is unconscious, incapacitated, or otherwise unable to remove the mask by the system. Evidence for effectiveness of cloth face coverings. So this is a thrilling way, remember, to live the new normal. Cloth face coverings are recommended as a simple barrier to help prevent respiratory droplets from traveling into the air and onto other people when the person wearing this cloth face covering coughs, sneezes, and talks or raises their voice control. This recommendation is based on what we know about the role respiratory droplets play in the spread of the virus that causes COVID-19, paired with emerging evidence from clinical and laboratory studies that shows cloth face coverings reduce the spread of droplets when worn over the nose and mouth. COVID-19 spreads mainly among people who are in close contact with one another within about 6 feet. So the use of cloth face coverings is particularly important in settings where people are close to each other or where social distancing is difficult to maintain. Who should wear a cloth face covering? And so I pretty much went over that. They're like repeating that. And then there's a video. And so hopefully you can hear this. Well, key times to wear a cloth face cover. Out in public, sick, and interacting with others. At home, caring for someone sick at home. And then they discuss key times to wear a face cover. And people who know or think they might have COVID-19, if you're sick of COVID-19 and think you might have COVID-19, do not visit public areas. Stay home except to get medical care as much as possible. Stay in a specific room and away from other people and pets in your home. If you need to be around other people, animals, wear a cloth covering. I don't think I have COVID-19, and I follow those guidelines. And if I can do it, you guys know, anybody can do it. The cloth face covering helps prevent a person who is sick from spreading the virus to others. When my guy Terry and I are together, we hug and we be affectionate toward each other. But I love to hug, I love to kiss, and I love to shake hands, and I don't. I don't want to get sick and don't want to spread anything. So we have to elbow and air kiss and give air hugs to people that we love in business and in our personal lives, right? The cloth face covering helps prevent the person who is sick from spreading the virus to others. It helps keep respiratory droplets contained and from reaching other people. Caregivers of people with COVID-19, those caring for someone who is sick with COVID-19 at home or in a non-healthcare setting, may also wear a cloth face covering. However, the protective effect, how well the cloth face covering protects healthy people from breathing in the virus, are unknown. To prevent getting sick, caregivers should also continue to practice actions, avoid close contact as much as possible, clean hands often, avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands, and frequently clean and disinfect surfaces. Who should not wear a cloth face covering? I already discussed. Feasibility and adaptation. CDC recognizes that wearing face coverings may not be possible in every situation or for some people. In some situations, wearing a cloth face covering may exacerbate a physical or mental health condition, lead to a medical emergency, or introduce a significant safety concern. Adaptations and alternatives should be considered whenever possible to increase the feasibility of wearing a cloth face covering or to reduce the risk of COVID-19 spreading if it is not possible to wear one. For example, people who are deaf or hard of hearing, but those who care for or interact with people who is hearing impaired may be unable to wear cloth face coverings if they rely on lip reading to communicate. In this situation, consider using a clear face covering. If a clear face covering isn't available, consider whether you can use written communication, use closed captioning, or decrease background noise to make communication possible while wearing a cloth face covering that blocks your lips. Some people, such as people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, mental health conditions, or other sensory sensitivities, may have challenges wearing a cloth face covering. They should consult with their healthcare provider for advice about wearing cloth face covering. Younger children, for example, preschool or early elementary age, may be unable to wear a cloth face covering properly, particularly for an extended period of time. Wearing of cloth face coverings may be prioritized at times when it is difficult to maintain a distance of 6 feet from others. Example, doing carpool drop-off or pick-up or standing in line at school. Ensuring proper school face covering size, fit, and providing children with frequent reminders and education on importance and proper wear of cloth face coverings may help address these issues. People should not wear cloth face coverings while engaged in activities. They may cause the cloth face coverings to become wet, like when swimming at a beach or pool. A wet cloth face covering may breathe for activities like swimming. It's particularly important to maintain physical distance from others when in the water. People who are engaged in high-intensity activities, like running, may not be able to wear a cloth face covering if it causes difficulty breathing. If unable to wear a cloth face covering, consider conducting the activity in a location with greater ventilation and air exchange. For instance, outdoors versus indoors, and where it is possible to maintain physical distance from others. People who work in a setting where cloth face coverings may increase the risk of heat-related illnesses or cause safety concerns through the introduction of a hazard. For instance, straps getting caught in machinery. They consult with an occupational safety and health professional to determine the appropriate face covering for their setting. Outdoor workers may prioritize using cloth face coverings when in close contact with other people, like during group travel and shift meetings, and remove face coverings when social distancing is possible. Cloth face coverings are a critical preventive measure and are most essential in times when social distancing is difficult. If cloth face coverings cannot be used, make sure to take other measures to reduce the risk of COVID-19 spread, including social distancing, frequent hand washing, and cleaning and disinfecting frequently touched surfaces. Face shields. It is not known if face shields provide any benefit as source control to protect others from the spread of respiratory particles. CDC does not recommend use of face shields for normal everyday activities or as a substitute for cloth face covering. Some people may choose to use a face shield when sustained close contact with other people is expected. If face shields are used without a mask, they should wrap around the sides of the wearer's face and extend below the chin. Disposable face shields should only be worn for a single use. Reusable face shields should be cleaned and disinfected after each use. Plastic face shields for newborns and infants are not recommended. Surgical masks. Cloth face coverings are not surgical masks or respirators. Currently, these are critical supplies that should continue to be reserved for healthcare workers and other medical first responders as recommended by current CDC guidance. Cloth face coverings also are not appropriate substitute for them in workplaces where masks or respirators are recommended, are required, and available. So that's what's up, and there's more. But it's time to conclude the show, so I'm going to go back to the studio part. And if you did call in, my apologies if I did not see your call, because I was not, I didn't have the screen up to take your call. And matter of fact, I still have 12 minutes if you want to call in. You know the number, 646-787-1578.
You hear that? That's the sound of healthy, safe water from the tap. And that safe water is available nearly everywhere in America, thanks in large part to the Safe Drinking Water Act, which turns 40 this year. Happy birthday, Safe Drinking Water Act. Together, let's keep our water safe for the next 40 years and beyond. To learn about how to protect your water, visit drinktap.org. This message brought to you by the American Water Works Association and United Water. You hear that? That's the sound of healthy, safe water from the tap. And that safe water is available nearly everywhere in America, thanks in large part to the Safe Drinking Water Act, which turns 40 this year. Happy birthday, Safe Drinking Water Act. Together, let's keep our water safe for the next 40 years and beyond. To learn about how to protect your water, visit drinktap.org. This message brought to you by the American Water Works Association and United Water.
Pets bring so much joy to our lives. They're loyal, they're protective, and smart. Yet as smart as our pets might be, they can't advocate for themselves, especially in the event of a natural disaster. Hi, I'm Sean Lowe. Last year during Hurricane Harvey, I saw the impact of natural disaster firsthand. Many families suffered the added heartbreak of being separated from their pets. That's why it's important your pet is part of your family's disaster preparedness plan, like storing pet food, medical records and supplies in waterproof containers. Proper identification, a microchip, and a photo of you with your pet can help in case you get separated. And keep their favorite comfort toy handy. If you take steps now, you'll encounter less stress during the chaos of an emergency. To learn how you can prepare your pet for a natural disaster, talk to your veterinarian and visit banfieldfoundation.org/disaster. That's banfieldfoundation.org/disaster. Don't save it for a rainy day.
Thank you so much. We'll take the time out like I love to do to thank you for your listenership and your awesome support to Culture Shock Entertainment Report, which started right here at blogtalkradio.com on March 21st, 2011. Thank you so much. Late Mom was one of my biggest fans and supporters of the show. And thank you for so many of you that have been with the show since day one, and also the new listeners and the first-time callers that have been calling in since the show has returned back to a call-in chat room format. So I'm going to take time out to share my social media handles and also the email address again, which I will provide now. KULTRESHOKENT_Beth@yahoo.com. Let me repeat, KULTRESHOKENT Jessica_bed@yahoo.com. On Twitter, I actively tweet on Beth Williams, BETHWMS. That's at Beth Williams, BETHWMS. You follow me on Facebook. I am on my personal page, is always at its limit, and I have like galore friend requests waiting, you know, to be confirmed. But please definitely follow me. I would love to see my numbers go up with my follows. So those of you that have been waiting to get confirmed as a friend, follow me. And I love to follow other people also. So definitely follow me. I'm at the limit on the personal page of accepting friend requests. You can friend Terry and I. We have a Facebook page, Beth Terry. I'm the one that's active on it most of the time. He has a page, but he's not really into social media, but he loves us having social media together, and he's looking forward to being interactive and doing, you know, have, and for us sharing more pictures and videos and sharing stories. Sharing our stories, sharing our life, and all of that. And thank you all for your prayers. The prayers are definitely helping. They're definitely helping. And we send love and prayers to you guys, too. So thank you. Let's see. Oh, let me continue. We do have a page. And we have a Facebook public page also, Being Beth and Terry Life, which, you know. On my page, my personal page, you can connect to groups and pages that I've created, like the James Franco Group Project, Save Dallas page, Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. Many of you do visit the page and interact on the page. So the show has a page, Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. My sole proprietor, my business, Culture Shock Entertainment, has pages, Culture Shock Entertainment, Culture Shock Entertainment and Marketing, also. And also, let's see, I'm trying to think. On IG, Beth_entrepreneur, and also beingbeth.terrylife, and the James Franco group has the IG also, the James Franco Project Group. And also YouTube.com, Culture Shock Inc. KULTRE. Terry and I have we created a YouTube page. We're just getting everything ready. So when we do get out there and ready to share, we will. We're already ready. Let's see. Seems like there's. Oh, LinkedIn. You guys know how much I love LinkedIn. So many of you that are on the professional website, LinkedIn, linkedin.com/NIN at Bethany C. Williams Entrepreneur. That's my handle on LinkedIn. I love me some LinkedIn, and you guys know I was locked out. Security. I know, security precautions. I was about my own page. Facebook took me through that when I was in Texas, when I was living in Sherman, Texas, north of Dallas. You guys remember, like, in 2016, and they took me through that, and then I guess they did, like, some deep investigating on my page, and they have been recommending. You need to get your own public page, which I do have, a Bethany B. True Williams public page, just me, Being Beth Terry Life public page. But that 2016, I was locked. I was in, like, Facebook jail so they could investigate. And you guys know my original page is Miss Beth Nelson, which I don't know the password. And so I try to tag and try to put things on it because my many friends still are active on that page also. But when I was introduced to Facebook, my dear friend Jermaine Patrick sent me a friend request and like, hey, that was when Facebook had been out maybe about 6 months or a year. And he was like, oh, you need to, Facebook is for intellectuals like you and I. I was into my blogging because I blog. I love to blog. And then that's when I discovered Blog Talk Radio. I'm like, hey, yeah, because I had been, at that time, I had been considering getting back on a radio station. And then I'm like, oh, hey. In the mid-90s, I had been on WMPR 90.1, Be True, because I am a DJ also. I love music. So I'm a radio personality there. But and I had been thinking about getting back on air doing a talk show. And so I've been just having so much fun doing my blogging and all that. And then I discovered Blog Talk Radio, and I love the story of how the creator started Blog Talk Radio. For those of you all who don't know how Blog Talk Radio started, amazing story. My spectrum of Jermaine, like, it's for intellectuals. I let the friend request sit in my emails for the longest. And then I finally confirmed, and then the rest is history. And I'm still friends with some of my original Facebook friends from around the world. Amazing long time online friendships. So been amazing. So big shout out to Mark Zuckerberg. I would love it. I mentioned it on the last podcast if his executives would go on that tour again. Because there's so much information when they stopped here in Jackson, Mississippi, like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. But again, thank you all so much for tuning in to Culture Shock Entertainment Report. Since I had a few minutes to talk, I just wanted to share my handles again and reach out to guests that have been on the show since it's been back in this interactive form where guests can come on and the callers can call in and everything, full-fledged shows. And, and for financial support so we can continue to develop and get the show back up to par and continue to grow and expand. Financial support is awesome, too, to receive. So Cash App is the $ BTRUE68 and PayPal Beth Williams, BETHWMS Entrepreneur. So for the financial support and believe me, the financial support would definitely go be reinvested into the show. Nothing else. It goes straight into investing the show, making the show better for you and I. We are co-producers of this show together. A big shout out to DC White, also awesome music man. Big shout out to Mr. JC Thompson. Broadcasted the Jackson Music Awards over the weekend. You guys check out the Jackson Music Awards page. A big shout out to Mr. Lee King. Shouting out some of my mentors that are based here in Jackson, Mississippi, and internationally known as awesome producers and concert promoters and creators and producers of the Jackson Music Awards also. It's important. Very important. So let's see. Let's just continue to social distance, follow what we know, what we've been taught to do anyway in life, because that's what dealing with coronavirus are things that we've been taught anyway. Be mindful of your space. Clean up behind yourself. Keep your hands clean, right? So now we have this thrilling way also of slowing the spread, wearing masks. On occasions, we need to wear our gloves, right? Because I need some new gloves.